What is up, Crusaders of Crypt Nation? Bryce here, and as always, joined by my partner in crime, the one, the only,
Mr. Pizza Mind.
That's right, and today we are introducing a brand new series here on Crypto 101 that we are calling The Weekly Fire.
That's right, The Weekly Fire will cover this week's hottest topics, crypto's most burning questions, and some heated debates. Every day, Pizza Mind and I upload a daily dose of news from our Twitter and Facebook, and The Weekly Fire is a compilation of the best stories we reported on from this past week.
We know your life is busy, and crypto moves too fast to keep up with, so we're going to keep you up to date with what you need to know. The best way to do so is by joining our Facebook community. Search Crypto 101 and hit like and join. You can also see our daily uploads on Twitter at Crypto101Pod. So Bryce, what's burning?
Square, the company, focuses solely on Bitcoin going forward. Tether goes liquid. There's a bunch of Senate hearings surrounding Bitcoin and Libra that we're going to be talking about. Then we had the Fed cut interest rates this week. We have some new regulations coming out of the UK. And finally, it's Ethereum's fourth birthday. But before we jump into all that, let's take a quick look at how the market's performing. Since Monday, Bitcoin is up 8%, Litecoin is up 7%, and Ethereum is lagging behind at 2%. In Bitcoin, there's some heavy technical resistance between $10,500 and $10,800. It's probably going to keep the bulls at bay this upcoming week. Litecoin is flirting with that psychological resistance at $100, but it looks like it's about to snap any minute. We smashed the upside through the ever-reliable 20-day moving average on both Litecoin and Bitcoin this week after topping out on June 26th, so that, to me, signals that we're out of our short-term correction and that now that downtrend is reversing, but we're still awaiting a breakout in Ethereum. So, you know, it seems like Bitcoin and Litecoin are going to be your better holds this week. Many analysts are looking for this confluence of support down at around 8,000 to be tested, and it's still totally in play, but the break above 10K late Thursday afternoon sort of suggests that those bidders might not get the low prices they wish. So, without further ado, let's get into the weekly fire.
What do we got?
We've got Square, the very famous, huge payment processor, saying that they're going to focus on Bitcoin.
This isn't necessarily news because we've known they've been doing it, but today they had a live AMA that covered a lot of ground and got some new facts out in the air. So we're going to be going through that kind of stuff.
Now, I see these Square point of sales everywhere I go. I mean, it's not like PoonyX who's trying to put out a new thing. Square's already everywhere.
They're installed in, I read, in 2018, they were about in 7 million locations. That was April. So now I imagine they grow at... There's one stat that they said they grow about 300,000 payment merchants every month.
Wow.
So they're probably in the tens of millions at this point.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So there's a big war on who's going to be the next big payment currency and system. Is it going to be Libra? Is it going to be Flexa? Is it going to be Bitcoin via Lightning Network? Is it going to be something else? So Bitcoin and Lightning just took a huge step forward.
Yeah, so Jack Dorsey, who's the CEO of Twitter, is also the CEO and owner of Square. And Square is doing, they do merchant services, point of sales, and basically, you know, we just had an AMA with their, one of their leaders, and, you know, when asked, what do you, when do you expect to have a working product, they answered, the product we're focusing on is Bitcoin. It's been up and running for over 10 years. But there's still a lot that needs to be done before we reach mass adoption. And then they were asked, you know, well, why don't you guys create your own cryptocurrency? And Jack Dorsey responds, well, you know, we don't need to. Bitcoin is proven, it's reliable, and it's principled, it's native to the internet. And so we think that, you know, what Square and Cash App is doing for Bitcoin is bigger than almost any other company that's doing for Bitcoin in particular.
Yeah, today was a major victory for Bitcoin maximalists and Bitcoin holders everywhere.
Very cool. In other news, we have Tether launching on the Liquid Network, and the Liquid Network is designed by the folks out of Blockstream, who everybody in Bitcoin is very indebted to. Mm-hmm. What Liquid Network kind of enables is new assets to be issued on top of the Bitcoin blockchain, similar to how the Omni Layer protocol did it. But this has, you know, instant settlement. It has confidential transactions, has multi-sig security. Basically, what it's going to be able to do is allow exchange to exchange, have instant settlements of LBTC, and LBTC is liquid BTC is what they're calling it, and now liquid Tether. So instant settlement now between exchanges with Tether, so you'll be able to close all those arbitrage opportunities instantly.
Yeah, so that's tremendous. And what this L means, it's basically a representation of a Bitcoin, or in this case a Tether, and it's backed one-to-one. So then when you finally are done with your trading, then you can settle out in the actual physical asset.
Yep, it should be very cool. So Tether is also on Tron and Ethereum and now Liquid. And this is very, very bullish for all the traders who are now going to be able to get Tether from any Liquid connected exchange just like that. The Senate National Banking Committee try and figure out what the hell to do with crypto. They had Jeremy Allaire, the CEO of Circle, who recently is moving his operations offshore to Bermuda. And basically they asked him, like, hey, why are you doing this? And he's like, look, you guys don't have, you guys as in U.S. regulators, don't have a framework for digital assets, because digital assets are encompassing, you know, commodities, investment contracts, and currencies, whereas the current regulatory framework delineates all three of them as separate. And he goes, no, they're all a little trifecta of three.
Yeah, so he's basically saying they're trying to put a round peg in a square hole, and because of that, like, there's no one here in the U.S. that is confident in innovating or moving forward or working together. They're all afraid they're going to get fined or thrown in jail or having their company shut down. So it's much easier just to move offshore, where you also get a ton of tax savings as well. So there's all kinds of countries that are stepping up to say, yeah, if you run a crypto company, please come here. We'll give you no taxes for X amount of years and no problems and government support all the way up to the president. Meanwhile, we can't even do anything even in our own Senate.
Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. And Senator Crapo of Idaho, he basically started off the hearing saying, like, hey, we want innovation to be fostered here in America because we know that if we don't move quick and if we don't move now, that we're going to lose ground to China, basically, which is a true statement. So that's kind of the general sentiment from the senators is like, hey, we don't want to be left in the dust, but we also don't want this to get out of hand like all the deregulation of the banking in 2002, right, when they deregulated the $600 trillion derivatives market, and that it, you know, almost caused the end of the world. So they're trying to say, well, how do we balance this? How do we have a balanced approach where we could classify these things as some new asset class that's not just a security, it's not just a commodity, it's not just a currency, it's elements of all three, right? So yeah, we'll kind of see how it all shakes out, but this isn't the end of all this talk in DC. It's really just the beginning.
Yeah, but at least they're starting to ask the right questions.
That they are. We'll see. Let's dig in. So first, I really want to focus on what dropping interest rates mean. So dropping interest rates, basically, like, interest rates are the price of money, right? So the lower the interest rates, the easier it is to borrow that money, right? Banks make money off of lending and collecting interest payments. So the lower that the interest rates are, the more willing they're going to loan out because they need to loan out more to make that same return. So basically, you know, interest rates and asset prices typically have like an inverse relationship. So if the interest rates drop, money's cheaper, money's denominating the value of an asset, so the asset price rises. Mm-hmm. But in this case today, we actually saw kind of I don't want to call it black swan, but I'll call it something that everybody didn't really foresee, where when the Fed announced that they were officially going to cut interest rates by 25 basis points or 0.25%, you know, assets actually started selling off and the index of the dollar strength went up. So people were like, what the heck, what's going on, right? But basically the idea is here is that everybody knew that interest rates were going to get cut. It was no secret. Everybody's been talking about it. Powell's been talking about it. The Fed's been talking about it. Trump's been tweeting about it and stuff. And so when assets prices started selling off, the market kind of realized that, like, hey, everybody's been pricing this in. And the way that they're cutting these rates isn't necessarily a new regime change, right? So we had quantitative easing take us out of the depression or the recession or whatever. And then we had quantitative tightening, which was rolling that back in. And now Trump and the powers that be are trying to say, let's go back to a little bit of easier money, right? We want to be able to print a little bit more money. We want asset prices to continue to expand to the upside. But we didn't see that today. So I have some good quotes here. And the reason why is because Jerome Powell, who's the chairman of the Federal Reserve, says the committee sees this as a way to ensure the market expansion. As soon as he said those words, the market sells off because the market kind of saw this as a one-time thing, not necessarily something that was going to be this long-winded thing. Powell continues to say, we're thinking of it as a mid-cycle adjustment to policy. That was it, right? It wasn't like the market was thinking it's going to be this full-blown new wave of quantitative easing, and it just wasn't that. And then Trump had a great tweet just 50 minutes ago. He says, what the market wanted to hear from Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve was that this was the beginning of a lengthy and aggressive rate-cutting cycle, which would keep pace with China, the European Union, and other countries around the world. As usual, Powell let us down, but at least he is ending quantitative tightening, which should not have started in the first place. No inflation. We are winning anyway, but I'm certainly not getting much help from the Federal Reserve. So we saw the Dow Jones, the Russell 2000, SPX, NASDAQ, all the indexes for asset prices here in America started to drop. And we saw Bitcoin actually not really phased one way or another. I think we kind of peaked up a little bit above 10K, not that much volume. But this is we were expecting a full-blown trend to unfold, essentially, with quantitative easing, but it's not really happening. So we're looking forward to what you guys think about this, but it was a pretty interesting and significant day.
Yeah, it sounds like we were all in this huge, long waiting pattern to see what the decision was going to be. And instead of being something big, it was just a very, very tight little tweak.
Yeah, just a little tweak. And they're saying, we're staying with this same regime. We want to keep things tight. But I don't know. It should be interesting. But it's definitely... We have the UK regulatory bodies finally issuing some general guidance around cryptocurrencies. The long story short on this is that Bitcoin and Ethereum have been declared unregulated assets and are not subject to the FCA's rules or watch.
Yes, this is huge. So any utility token, they're just going to leave alone, do what you got to do. Anything that's kind of on the fence between utility and security, they'll judge on a case-by-case basis.
Pretty big stuff.
In addition, there's no new license or any other work for exchanges to do. They can now move forward without being fear of being shut down or thrown in jail, which is enormous.
All except for derivatives. Derivatives, yes. Like what BitMEX offers, or Deribit or Bybit, those are still going to be very closely regulated, very closely watched. In America, it's the CFTC that does that regulation.
Yeah.
But derivatives are a completely different animal than the spot markets.
That's right. And they are still considering banning all crypto derivatives altogether. But that's coming, a decision Thanks. On that's coming later.
So Ethereum's fourth birthday.
Yes, that's right. Ethereum launched 4 years ago today. Its white paper came out in 2013, and it took Vitalik Buterin and team 2 whole years to make the first version of Ethereum that we all know and love today. So something worth keeping in mind, that it took all those geniuses 2 whole years to get just to their first version. And now...
ETH 2.0 is coming out.
Yeah, and now, 4 years later, we're just ahead of 2.0. So it takes a long time to get anything cool done.
More or less, that's a great takeaway, is that it takes a long time to get anything cool done.
Yeah.
But Ethereum 2.0 is going to be very interesting. So it's dubbed Serenity. They are reducing the block reward from 3 Ethereum to 2 Ethereum. Mm-hmm. So it'll reduce the inflation rate. They have proof of stake now, or preparing for proof of stake, which will be very cool. And they're going to have faster transaction times with Casper protocol, with sharding.
Yeah.
So sharding is basically parallel processing of the blockchain,
right?
Instead of a linear processing. So it's like hyper-threading.
Yeah. So just how your computer's CPU went from only having 1 core to now 4, and then 8, and then 16, that's what's happening to blockchain transactions on Ethereum.
Should be very, very cool. So everything's going to stay in consensus, and the transactions will still be ordered, but they'll be processed at the same time. So that'll be very cool.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Fire. Be sure to follow us at Twitter at Crypto101Pod. And also join our Facebook community, Crypto 101 Podcast. See you next week.